The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray, how are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you, because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
She accused me of using big words. Well, that's the last thing I want to be is orgulous. I just do not want to be orgulous. You know, here on the program, we engage in a lot of persiflage, but orgulous is something that, it would cause me to lose the humility award. Delighted to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is The Doctor Is In. Appreciate your company here. I don't even know if there's anybody out there listening. I'm going to assume there are a few, given the email, given the calls. Well, I know there's two, the Andrew Krucek, producer man there in Ave Maria Radio Studios, and Eric Dumont, the first line call screamer. You could have contact with them before you have contact with me. They are the intermediate step. 877-573-7825. That's the number to call. Get onto the program, 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about the stuff of life, people in your circle, your kids, your adult parents, relationships, perhaps a moral question as it intersects with some kind of psychology question. Now, I'm a professional psychologist, so there is no diagnosing on this program, and there is no therapy. We can educate, give a few generic sort of explanations and ideas, hopefully that can help you out. It can be particular people, circumstances, emotions you don't understand, you want to do something about, or you want to learn to live with. Yeah, that's a big part of being at peace in life. Learning to live with. That's huge. The old prayer of St. Francis, you know, give me the peace to accept that which I cannot change. And that is huge. I don't know what it is about us. We just want to change it. Make it better. Make it right. And I'm going to get to that in an opening monologue here in a moment. 877-573-7825. I know this might be a little early. I got to look this up because I do not remember exactly. Okay, that's on that. That goes there. I'm attempting to navigate my cell phone as I talk, which is not a good idea. I can't even navigate my cell phone. Where is this? There it is. Okay, we are headed to, good Lord permitting, Buffalo, New York, Station of the Cross territory. They got a wonderful station there, Jimmy Wright and Zach Krajicek. I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right. We're going to do four TV shows there at the NED Studios, big honking things, big studios. So we plan to be August... Oh, I got to get my... Hold on, I got to get my book. Buried underneath the pretzels in my briefcase. I should know these things by heart. It is Wednesday and a Thursday. Good thing I looked. I was going to give you the wrong dates. August 21 and August 22. A Wednesday and a Thursday. And the shows, the programs, are at 5 and 7. Now, we are going to cooperate with the Station of the Cross there in Buffalo. Wonderful, wonderful station. Hold on a second. Let me give you the details. If you would like to be in the audience, I know this is 5 weeks away or so. If you'd like to be in the audience, you call Darcy. Darcy at the station there. Let me give you her number in case. 877-888. That's easy enough, right? 877-888 and 6279. Now, the easy way to remember that is when I was 62, Teresa Tomeo was 79. 6279. That's all. Just call Darcy. Darcy, I want to come. I want to come with my kids, my dog, my neighbor lady. Bring anybody you want. The bigger the audience, the better. You can come for one show, two shows, all four shows. That's your business. Those of you big homeschooling families, you can bring your kids and we do feed you. So it's probably worth your while, you know. So enough of that. Now I got to go back to my other side of my email for my monologue. All right. There it is. I first heard this listening to a talk radio personage who read this. I was fascinated at the time because a lot of the calls, somnambulistic means sleepwalking. I know that. You didn't have to tell me that. Okay. Really, it's somnambulism. But go ahead. They thought they had me. A lot of the calls we get are of resentful, angry, ungrateful, very ungrateful young adults toward their parents. The parents are written off. The parents have, at the least, a friction-filled relationship with these kids. And I this would probably be the number one referral I get. Believe it or not, it's the number one life referral I get. Now, why? Well, I've done previous monologues on my personality theory. I have a personality theory, my three-year-old personality theory. Got a high percentage of brats, grown-up brats. Or, you're not the boss of me, as a three-year-old would say. You can't tell me. Me do. There's just a lot of that. Three-year-olds look to blame people. So, what is it among the young that so often is this ungrateful, kind of resentful attitude? Especially living the way we live like kings in world history. This is incomprehensible what we've created. Well, this young woman, 26 years old, Alyssa is her name. She was in grad school. I don't know where she wrote this. It says, college student, my generation is blind to the prosperity around us. I'm sitting in a small coffee shop trying to think of what to write about. I scroll through my newsfeed on my phone looking for the latest headlines of political candidates calling for policies to fix the so-called injustices. I put my phone down and I look around. I see people talking freely, working on their MacBooks, ordering food they get in an instant. Seeing cars of all kinds go by outside. And it dawned on me. We live in the most privileged time in the most prosperous nation, and we've become completely blind to it. Vehicles, food, technology, freedom to associate with whom we choose. These things are so ingrained. It's true. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in there. I shouldn't. She's talking. In our American way of life, we don't give them a second thought. We are so well off here in the United States that our poverty line begins 31 times above the global average. 31 times. Virtually no one in the United States is considered poor by global standards. Yet, in a time where we can order a product off Amazon with one click and have it at our doorstep the next day, we are unappreciative, unsatisfied, and ungrateful, and she is so doggone right. I see this constantly. This is not the main factor in what's happening to an awful lot of the attitudes among the younger generation. Part of it is they've kicked God out of the room. Big part of it. But this is a factor. It's huge. She goes on. Our unappreciation is evident in the popularity of socialist policies among my generation. As one congresswoman said, an entire generation, which is now becoming one of the largest electorates in America, came of age and never saw American prosperity. Who is she kidding? What? This is not a political diatribe. This is just a psychological observation, an attempt to understand what is going on out there with so many young people who are in a state of ennui, overall malaise, unhappiness, discontent, while they live smack in the middle of unbridled wealth, hedonism, prosperity. She says, when I first read that statement, I thought to myself, that was quite literally the most entitled and factually illiterate thing I've ever heard in my 26 years on this earth. Many young people agree with her, which is entirely misguided. My generation is being indoctrinated by a mainstream narrative to actually believe we have never seen prosperity. Why then? Here she gets down to the crux of it. With all the overwhelming evidence around us, evidence that I can even see sitting at a coffee shop, do we not view this as prosperity? We have a young generation convinced they've never seen prosperity. Why? The answer is this. She's dead on. My generation has only seen prosperity. We have no contrast. We didn't live in the Great Depression or live through two world wars, the Korean War. We don't know what it's like to live without the internet, without cars, without smartphones. We don't have a lack of prosperity problem. We have an entitlement problem, an ungratefulness problem, and it's spreading like a plague. My mom and dad, when they were raising me, both grew up in the Depression, in the 30s. Their whole approach to taking care of their things, their whole approach to saving, their whole approach to making what you have go a long way was shaped as they grew up. They saw that. They saw lack growing up. I never did. I got the benefit of how they advanced materially and financially. And my kids get a tremendous benefit. When I grew up, we didn't have air conditioning. We got it when I was 23 or 24. We had a box air conditioner in a family room. That was it. My kids never knew no air conditioning. Cars or homes. Whole house, whole cars. It's just the way it was. Air conditioning is one example. You become accustomed to living in a certain way. That's all you've ever known. And you start to think, well, this is the norm. This is the way it's supposed to be. This isn't privilege. This isn't blessing. This is. And then, all too often, I know I'm way past. They're gonna buzz into my headphones here in a second. All too often, this becomes a sense of, is that it? I didn't get my fair share. I want more. And my parents are the ones who really were the problem. Whew, it ain't a pretty thing. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
Call your doctor if you have high fever, stiff muscles, and confusion to address a possible life-threatening condition.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it You learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Caught between a rock, a hard place, and carborundum. This is stuff of diamonds. I have somebody that I asked to email me, and she did very sweetly, so I will get to that. I have Cindy with a very nice generic question. And I have some particular situations out there. However, I have to go to the person who disagrees with me for my own sake. John from Lincoln, Nebraska says, I'm wrong. I'm wrong about entitlements pervading this generation, the younger generation. John, tell me where I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Okay. Yeah. You're wrong, all right?
Okay.
That little thing you read from that 26-year-old woman?
Yeah.
She was sitting in a coffee shop. She has a phone. She has a laptop. There are plenty of homeless people out there. Millennials do have it tough, okay? They don't have it made like the baby boomer generation. They don't have a union job that got chased out of this country by the baby boomers. They can't afford a house, okay? There's a lot of people that are homeless right now. Lots
so you're
of
saying, John, you're saying it's gotten worse. You're saying that, indeed, we have less and less opportunity. And the people under 35 will never see the kind of good living materially that the people between 35 and 64 did.
I'm saying, yeah, you know, it will get worse. I mean, if we don't do things like, you know, call these rich people out for not paying their taxes.
Mm. Okay. Even though top 1% pays close to half the taxes.
You know, I probably pay just about as much as Warren Buffett pays in my taxes, all right, percentage-wise.
I think you're making my point here, John.
I don't make as much as he does.
So. I think you're making my point. Obviously, you're very discontent about whatever opportunities you've had. You don't think
I'm telling you there's a lot of people who can't afford phones and laptops. And that sounds
very,
like a
very few. If you look at the stats, it's like 97 to 98% have phones. So, no. You're pointing to those. You're right. You're pointing to that percentage. Who
Americans can't afford a $400, $500 hit. Somebody has to go to see the doctor, and you're sitting there saying, we got it made, and we don't. You lose your job? Nope. You ain't going to get another one. That job's going to Mexico.
I am not saying, John, all right, John. Oh, John. I am not saying that every person in your generation has it great. Not saying that at all. I am saying, looking at the overall picture, your generation, the younger generation, has more opportunities, more materialistic comforts, by far more technology than previous generations. And even so, there is a pervasive lack of gratitude and discontent. Now, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying there aren't homeless. I'm not saying there aren't those who are struggling to find a job. I'm not saying that. Simply saying, across the board. And yeah, that 26-year-old was in a coffee shop, and she recognized that she was part of that generation. And she said, what is with us? If you look at the stats, that generation is the most discontent of generations. Now, you're forced to say it's only because they don't have opportunities and they don't have materialistic goods, or there's something else at work. But your point is taken. There are always those who are less well off. You're right, John. Got it. Let me go. All right, I got to go to Laura because I asked her to call, and she did. She did call. It either means that she listens to what I say diligently or she's a desperate woman. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Thank you for the call. Yes.
Yeah. So I wanted to let you know that I have read When Faith Causes Family Friction, and I know you talk a little bit about this in one of the chapters in there. But I just wanted to get maybe some further guidance or ideas.
My book wasn't enough for you. Is that it, Laura? That's it, isn't it?
It just wasn't enough. I need more. Yep. That's it. Right. And I just need to go to the well of knowledge, straight to the source.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Some people might consider it a shallow creek of knowledge, but go ahead.
Well, I'll take what I can get. So I want to start by saying that my parents didn't raise my brother and me in the faith. So I know, I mean, we grew up unchurched, and I wasn't in church until I was almost in college. So I know that that changes the way that they view these kinds of things, just because they didn't parent the way that my husband and I are parenting. We have four children. We'll have five in December. I homeschool, and we're very restrictive on the kinds of things that the kids have access to in terms of TV, in terms of you know, what they eat. They don't get to eat junk food. They don't.
You are shortchanging, like, Laura. Laura, you are shortchanging. You are shortchanging your children. And your parents need to compensate for that.
Well, that's exactly what they think, like, for real. They more or less have, with the way that they talk, said, you know, mom and dad are just too rough, and but don't worry, I'm going to go to bat for you.
Yeah, and we got you covered. Against these Neanderthals.
Yeah, yeah. And so when they come to visit from out of town, I love my parents dearly, but it really makes me crazy because I kind of have to do damage control for a while afterwards because they encourage, well, no, it's not really my mom so much as my dad. He encourages the kids to ask for things that they never in a thousand years get. He encourages them to ask for cookies every day or get to watch extra shows. Or while we were, my husband and I took them, they let us have a morning to go get some breakfast, which was great. We really appreciative of that. And when we came back, my sons came bounding up and go, mom, we got to drink soda. And I'm like, ugh. You know, they encourage them to just ask for things and push for things that they know that they're not going to get. And I mean, right now our oldest, we have six-year-olds, a three-year-old, a one-year-old, and then we'll have one in December. But the bigger issue that we have, and this is something that the twins are starting to take notice of, is when we do family prayer time. This is something that our family has done since forever. We just have our family prayer time and Bible stories, and at the end of the day, that's just what we do. And Grandma and Grandpa don't participate. They go in the other room, or they go for a walk, or they just completely vanish.
They don't have to.
I know, and we don't force them to. We've always invited them to.
Laura, you know what? You're going to get interrupted by the break because you gave me a pretty detailed picture. Give me the question so I can ponder it through the break.
My question is just how do you navigate that water without sounding like the ungrateful brat that you talked about in your introduction? And how do you... you know, the kids are really taking notice of them not participating in prayer. And they're like, are Grandma and Grandpa pagans? that's a question we were directly asked.
Okay.
I'm like, no, they're not pagans.
I got you.
That's what I want some guidance on.
I'll give you some guidance. No problem. There are several perspectives here that need to be seen. Before I go to the break, how often do they visit?
I'd say 4 times a year.
How long?
3 days usually.
Okay. So you got 12 days with Grandma and Grandpa, right?
And then we go visit them, so, you know.
All right.
But they come to our house about 3 or 4 times a year.
Gotcha. You stay right there. We'll see what we can do about that. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. This time just goes too fast for me. I know it probably goes slower for you, but it goes really fast for me. really does. Half, I'm close to halfway through the show already. It's exhausting, all this talking.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge that and to say, no, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Believers who respond to God's word and become members of Christ's body are intimately united to him, the Catholic Catechism tells us. In that body, those who believe are united with Christ through the sacraments in a very real and hidden way. The body's unity does not do away with the diversity of its members who engage in a diversity of functions. The unity of the mystical body triumphs over all human divisions. As St. Paul says, there are no Jews, no Greeks, no slave, no free man. All are one in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body of the Church, the principle of creation and redemption. We are united with Christ in his Passover. All his members must strive to resemble him until Christ is formed in them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you so very much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Getting a chance to talk to all kinds of neat folk. Laura, I held her on through the break because she's got a situation. This is interesting, kind of a reversal of the preponderance of questions we get. The preponderance is that the children leave the faith, and as a result, there's a lot of resentment toward their parents. There's a lot of conflict regarding grandkids and how they're being raised. Well, Laura's situation is the exact reverse of that. She was not raised with any faith, any religion of any kind, and we didn't get a chance to talk about how she came back around, but she and her husband are both faithfully trying to raise their children with traditional morals and Judeo-Christian approach to life. Well, the grandparents, I think it's safe to say they don't like that. Wouldn't you say that, Laura? They don't like that.
Well, I mean, they are practicing Catholics. They do go to Mass Sunday, It's an interesting situation.
All right. Okay. So here's several things to consider. One, four visits to your place, roughly 3 days apiece. Okay. If they're doing a little bit of quote unquote grandparent spoiling, hey, we got to drink pop while you weren't there, Ma. Okay. Can you live with that? You may decide. Eh,
yes.
All right. You can say, hey, look, you can drink pop because Grandpa's here. It's a special occasion, but we go back to normal after that. Okay, you can do that. Two, if it's really undercutting you, in other words, you go out to dinner with your husband and you come back and you find out that he put something on TV that would just burn your eyes, much less your mm-hmm. six-year-olds, that is something you definitely got to address, and that is something that may make you feel, no, sorry, not feel, may make you act to say you can't leave them with grandparents alone. You only know the length they'll go to decide they need to compensate for you. That's two. I'm sure you've talked about this with them, and whatever they've nodded or whatever they've done to agree or not agree, they're just going to continue to do what they want to do. So you've got to judge, all right, three extra cookies I can live with, Chainsaw Massacre movie I can't, all right? That's what you got to do. And it's mostly your dad, and maybe you can tell your mom, hey, Ma, you know, I know you don't necessarily agree with the way we do it, but they're our kids. We have the right to do it our way. You don't have to agree. Dad doesn't have to agree. But you know what he's doing, Mom? I got to tell you, and maybe you got to tell your dad this too. You're making it bad for the kids because I have to discipline them after you leave.
Yep.
Now, regarding the praying, just don't make it personal. Just simply say, well, some people want to pray a lot and some people don't want to pray a lot. We like to pray a lot. Grandma and grandpa don't pray as much. That doesn't mean they don't love God. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. And I'm so distraught. Laura, I am so distraught that you read my book and you said it fell short. I can't believe that. Do you mean to tell you?
I read Advice Worth Ignoring, too.
That was a good one. That, you know, that was one of my favorites, and it didn't sell as well as I thought it would. That was something I know I did too. Maybe it's a bad title. You know, Advice Worth Ignoring. Okay, well I won't pick up the book then. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, God bless you, dear. You take. And by the way, one other thing too. I want to remind you of. You got three kids, right?
I have four with number five on the way.
You know that's part of it.
Oh, I know. They think we're nuts.
Yes. And there's no way you can give those children the attention that each one of them should have. You're too divided.
Oh, we've heard that speech.
And so therefore, I'm going to give them nine cookies. Thanks for the call, Laura. Bless your heart, dear. I'll take you off the email list. Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of people who want to comment on that monologue. Let me grab Cindy real quick here. I'm on line one. She says, oh, well, let's see what she says. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Because I know last time you hung on the phone the whole time. It's probably your lunch hour. Are you losing weight?
Trying. Mm.
Go ahead, dear.
Dr. A, I have a question for you. Yes. Yeah. During discipline, does an apology result in an immediate return of privileges?
Oh, no. Of course not. I talk about that. I forget which book I talk about that in. But an apology is wonderful. That's great. Mm-hmm. It's like going to confession. Hey, you know, I went to confession, so I'm not going to have to spend any time in purgatory on this. Got that, Lord? I said I was sorry. I broke the window. Sorry about that. No, the apology is great. And you would hope that that would come with the offense. But that doesn't at all remove being held accountable. You bopped your sister. I put you in the corner. And while you're on the way to the corner, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't ever do it again. I'm sorry. I'm going to go tell her. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, go to the corner, please. I said I was sorry.
Yeah,
of course. Don't you understand? That's my go-to response when I want to get out of trouble. That's a standard kid line. I said I was sorry.
Yeah.
Mom, you don't have to do anything more. That's it. I took care of it. Boy, I'd like to be able to get away with that, you know. Cop pulls me over. Officer, I was gone pretty fast. I'm sorry. Here's your ticket. I said I was sorry. Yeah, then I'd probably get more money thrown at me. Thank you, Cindy.
Thanks, Dr.
All right, honey. Bye. Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of Scott, first caller, John, that they're not. Okay. Please, those of you who want to comment, I do want to get to your comments. All right, I got about a minute and a half here. Let's go to Mike. Mike from Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. How are you today?
Okay, buddy. I'm not sure you can do anything about this.
My basic question is, what I probably should be asking is, when do you just kind of shake the dust from your feet and just move on, as it says in the Bible, like where you try to help people, And you know, you're just, you know, you can't control them. You can't make them do what you want them to do, obviously. You know, you can do that through consequences or what have you with your kids, but as they get older, they do what they want. You know, where do you just, it just seems, it seems like it's a bad movie. As time goes on, we hear more and more about a certain person that this person that we love is dating, and, you know, that they're now that this person is married. And to someone else, civilly and also spiritually. And you just kind of just, you know, love the person and, you know, show them love and hope to God that it, pray that it doesn't work out, or?
Well, what's the context? For example, oh boy.
Well, let's say you have someone who's very close to you as a relative and they're dating someone, and the person, you know, you find out a couple of years ago that the person is, you know, into doing drugs, is a alcoholic, you know, has had issues in the last 4 years with the Department of Health and Human Services.
Stay right there, Mike. We're going to be cut off in about 3 seconds. I'll be right back.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently prevailed in a lawsuit filed in an Oklahoma federal court by Raja E. Fatia, a Muslim and a board member of CARE Oklahoma, against Chad and Nicole Neal, the owners of an Oklahoma gun range. Fatia was represented by lawyers from CARE, the ACLU, and a large New York law firm, the usual suspects. The American Freedom Law Center represented the Neals. The controversy arose when in 2015, Fatia entered the Neal's gun range armed with a loaded military-issue handgun strapped to his side, a military-style rifle slung over his shoulder, magazines loaded with approximately 140 rounds of 9mm ammunition, a concealed recording device in his pocket, and a dangerous agenda. To create a controversy with armed individuals at the gun range, hoping that he would not be allowed to fire his weapons, so he could file this meritless lawsuit and run to the media with his prearranged Islamophobia narrative, knowing that the liberal media would willingly serve as an echo chamber for his spurious claim of discrimination. CARE's lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice. CARE's extremely reckless and dangerous attempt to set up a lawsuit to make a political point has failed. Apparently, CARE and the ACLU didn't want to put CARE's nefarious ties to terrorism on trial, so they caved in. And in the end, the good guys won yet again. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
On the break, Andrew was saying, well, if you say, I don't know, I said, yeah, well, a lot of times I don't know. We get through the calls a lot quicker. I don't know. Dr. Rager in here, talking to Mike. Mike from Omaha, Nebraska. Situation is, you know, someone, a relative, dating somebody, and it's complex, and this person's already married, and Mike's saying, okay, what's my role in all this? I mean, as the information is coming toward me, I'm finding out that it's getting morally more questionable. I think that's it, right, Mike?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Okay. And I asked the context.
Ray, if my phone goes out, it's just my battery is low, so I don't want you to think I'm hanging up on you. I love listening to you.
I am used to being hung up on, Mike. It's not a problem. It doesn't affect me. Here's the context. The person who is doing this, as you know them, do they have any sense of they're doing something wrong, or no, this is just perfectly fine?
They know it is, but they don't care. Okay. That's the best way to explain it.
So are you saying, how do I make them care?
Well, you know, the person that is in our corner, basically, who we love, this person's been through a really bad divorce. And this person's, as you know from your research and statistics and what have you, that this person's not in their right mind. They're just really psychologically dealing with, you know, breaking up with their spouse after 15 years. And, you know, in normal circumstances, you know, we know this person, known them for many years, they would never have done this. And so we're just, you know, we know it's going to end up, they're going to get married. That's really where it's heading, unless by the grace of God, grace intervenes. And so I guess we're just trying to help this person see through the psychological issues that this person's experiencing to see what is really going on.
Well, are they coming to you to ask that?
Nope. No,
I didn't think so. So basically, you've got a choice here. You can go up to him, open up the conversation at the right moment, and say, "What's happening there? Are you serious about this person? Do you think this is heading toward marriage? What made you decide that? I deserve to be happy after what happened to me. I deserve to be happy.
That's exactly what was said.
you'd think I talked to these folks. If you get met with something like that, there's nowhere to go with it.
Okay.
I'm not a theologian. I'm not a priest, obviously. But you don't have a moral obligation to keep hammering away at somebody who, when you first try to approach it, to understand and to morally give them some better suggestions, looks at you and says, get out of my life.
Sure.
What are you going to do? I mean, I look around me in my life and people that I know. I mean, I could spend every waking second talking to people. Why are you doing this? Do you know this is wrong? Do you ever think this is wrong? Why would you want to do this? Do you see this as a problem? Are you jeopardizing your soul? I mean, you could do that forever, especially living in a culture that essentially says, I can do what I want. Morally, sexually, I can do what I want. And you people who are judgmental, like Mike, and anybody else who wants me to stunt my happiness, shut up.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah.
I know. It's part and parcel of the world we live in now, the society we live in. We don't share a lot of the same moral glue.
Sure.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.
Okay,
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, let's take another. I'm going to flip-flop back and forth here between calls and comments. Jerry from Cleveland, Ohio, she's commenting on my entitlement discussion. She is a baby boomer. Her parents are immigrants from another country. And her mom had it much like my own mother's mother. My own mother's mother had 13 pregnancies, lost 8 of them, 4 of them while the kids were alive under age 5. That was not that unusual. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Dr. Ray. So glad I was able to get through.
Sure, dear.
Three of my grandparents were born in Italy. One of them was born here, but she was also of Italian background. So maybe this is a cultural thing, but I want to share it with you. My mother, I missed that family of origin. So very, very much. They were the best. Anyway, my mother told me stories, and she was one of 5 children. 3 of them sadly passed away. So then there were just the 2 children. And this was during the Depression. And my mother told me that because there were 2 children, my grandfather said, well, because in those days there were times when people could get into lines, like a bread line or a line to maybe get some cheese, you know, free. And at that point, when there were the 2 children, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, said to the family, "I really don't think we should be standing in line to get cheese." He said, "There are people here that have more children than we do. And I don't think it's right of us to stand in line. We will make do. We'll make do with what we have." And you know,
Jerry, I'm gonna get you to focus it, dear. What are you saying?
What I'm saying is compare that to the entitlement that so many people think they have these days. And this is, to me, an example, you know, of just so much humility and just wanting to help others.
Yes. I'm going to hurry along to another call here, Jerry. But what you're saying is so true. There was a different persona of a previous generation or two because they grew up with hardship and they grew up wanting to share and to know this. And there's no way around it. And even if you look at history, societies who somehow work their way to more plenty oftentimes become decadent. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the call so much. Brad, looks like Nebraska. That's N-E. Hi, Brad. How are you? Bro, Brad, you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. What's up, sir?
I live in Meadow Grove, Nebraska, and I have a 33-year-old daughter that lives out of state. She currently lives with a married man. He's separated. Well, his wife left her with two kids, and then he has a previous wife that he pays child support for two kids, and then my daughter has three children from a different individual. And she lives with this man with his two kids and with her daughter. And then the dad of the other children of her children comes and gets them over the summer. And they just went to a big
country. You realize, Brad, how hard it is to keep track of hers, mine, ours, theirs. You know that, don't you?
Right. And so she's always calling me, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night. And, you know, everything is just so upside down. The boyfriend she lives with has a job and is gone all the time. And so he leaves her there with his two children and her daughter.
Brad, what does she want you to do? Brad, what does she want you to do?
Basically, I guess I'm asking for advice on what I should try to advise her to do. I mean, she calls and says she's lost. She doesn't want to be there. And then she's fine when he comes home. And then
living with a guy that she's not married to, correct?
Correct.
All right. She has her own children from a previous relationship?
Yes.
Ask her why she is still in that situation. Say to her, you call me and you complain all the time. Why are you unwilling to do anything about it? And if she tells you, well, I can't. I have nowhere to go. I don't have the money. We're stuck to stay here. Then you ask her, you say, well, how long do you think it'll be before you finally decide that this is not good for you and no matter what, you're going to have to find another way? Keep focusing on the idea of what is keeping her there, because she's not going to call you to tell you how wonderful it is. She's going to call you to tell you how awful it is. And that's your opening to say, okay, then what are you saying? Why are you still sticking it out? Now, I'm not naive. In these kinds of relationships, they tend to be battered relationships, and maybe not necessarily physically. But when it's good, it's really good. When it's bad, it's really bad. It's addictive kind of relationship. We're on a high. Things are going great. Things are good. Okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I feel better now. And then 2 days later, he does something, et cetera, et cetera. Just keep focusing, Brad, on the idea that all she's telling you is her distress. How long is she going to not do something about it? I'm Dr. Ray. Be right back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia, where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. at TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at TeaseItaly, TravelItalyExpert.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. A here. Well, being a grandparent's just like being a parent, isn't it? Only different here. I have a book with that same title. And in that book, I take on the ups and the downs of being grandparents. It's a second go around with the kids in a way that mirrors God's own unconditional love for us. You can get the book and my many others at AveMariaRadio.net. Get to Scott from Seattle here in a moment. I want to welcome another new station in the growing EWTN radio family. All these new stations coming to EWTN. I feel like saying, do you know how this is happening? Do you have a TV? When are you going to stop? Hello to everybody listening on KKSJ 107.5 FM, Beloit, Kansas. I got a chance to speak in Beloit, Kansas. That was kind of cool. Many thanks to Lynn Ellens and her team. Hard work and prayers getting this new station on the air. 107.5 KKSJ in Beloit. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us. Scott, Seattle, Washington. He was commenting on John's comment from my monolog because John was saying, there is no opportunity to get ahead here for the young people. They're struggling. There's no sense of entitlement among young people. The entitlement's among the baby boomers. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Good, sir.
Oh, good. Hey, I wanted to let you know I'm a first-time listener, and I really am enjoying the show. I like your values. I like your comments. I'm not Catholic, but I like everything you're saying. So,
well,
hey,
Scott, you're not Catholic. We'll put you to the end of the line. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Hey,
now
you never know.
Yeah, and I won't be nice to you either. That's it. No, thanks for calling, buddy.
Absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I got a little fired up listening to John talking about, you know, there's not opportunity, talking about the rich need to pay more in taxes. You know, I think that's a bunch of hogwash that this younger generation takes that attitude. I mean, in Seattle right now, on the radio the other day, they said, you know, there's 100,000 jobs in Seattle that need to be filled. You know, there is so much opportunity out there, and that doesn't even begin to say that you can't start your own business in this country. You can't invest a little. You can't make a lot. He talked about, you know, there's so much homeless in this country. I'm not saying there's not legitimate homelessness in this country, because there is. But you know what? The majority of the homeless people out there are homeless because they choose to do so. I had an acquaintance that chose, you know, he was a young guy, 18 years old. He chose to move out of his family to go downtown Seattle, and because he wanted to live. He wanted to camp out with everybody down there. There are so many people out there that's their choice. It's not because they have to be homeless. It's not because something happened to them. It's because they're choosing,
Scott,
that lifestyle.
The question you raise is, what happened to that desire to work ahead, to get ahead, to strive? What happened to that? It seems like it has declined, some would say dramatically, among the younger people. What happened? And the point of my monologue was, when you get that kind of free stuff that we get. I grew up with free stuff. I always had a bike. I always had a lot. Now, not compared to what my kids grew up with. Oh, my gosh. They grew up in a bigger house. They grew up with more technology. So when that happens, you're absolutely right. There is less of a push to better oneself. My son is 22, and he is stunned at how many of his peers just, as they would put it, chill. Oh, yeah, they make a few bucks here and there, maybe work a little part-time, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. But that's about it. They've got no goals, and these are not kids from broken families. These are kids from families that you would think would be relatively intact. Scott, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Hope to catch you in future shows. And even though you're not Catholic, I may even put you to the front just out of my charity. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Andrew Kruczek. Thank you, Eric Dumont. I love saying it that way. It just really adds a little cosmopolitan panache to this program. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand. Dr. Ray.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.